following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, if you would this morning, turn to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Father, I pray you come and anoint the word to us this morning. And nobody said. I want to talk this morning entitled Freedom from the Tyranny of Your Past Sins. How many of y'all have sinned in the past? How many of y'all sometimes get under torture or emotional attack or guilt or shame or regret? Come on, be honest. Well, 1 John 1:9, we all know this verse, hopefully. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, everybody knows that verse, but there's a misnomer there. A lot of people somehow believe that the way to get forgiven and cleansed is to just to confess your sins. And in our English idiom, what confession means is to just kind of pronounce it, to acknowledge it, to recognize it. Now, frankly, that's okay, because that's a good step for a lot. A lot of people never get free from their sins because they can never really acknowledge it or confess it. They're just too busy justifying or rationalizing or blaming others for the deal. Am I right? So it's a step to come where you can confess your sin, recognize I'm the guilty one here. But I would submit that you got to look at the whole of Scripture to understand. And if you turn to Proverbs 28:13, you'll find the balance to this verse. Proverbs 28:13. In fact, you ought to actually put this down. You ought to reference in 1 John 1:9, right in your margin, Proverbs 28:13, to remind you to go back. Proverbs 28:13 reads this: He that covers his sins shall not prosper. You ready? But whoso confesses and what? Forsakes shall have what? Now, would you agree with me? That kind of rounds this thing out. Hello? It's not just confessing it. I wrote here, it means to face it and forsake it. 1 John 1:9 is face it. Proverbs 28:13 completes it. Face it and forsake it. Now, do not raise your hand, but let's be honest. How many here, you've confessed your sins, but when you get right down to the bottom line, you haven't utterly forsaken it? Don't raise your hand, but I'm going to raise mine. Okay, because I stand, and recently God put me through all kind of living Hades this summer and nailed me for sin in my life that I had been confessing for years. Hated it. Did not want it. Did what I could, and yet didn't utterly forsake it. And the Lord had it with me. And He let it all come to the bar and manifest in a life-threatening sickness where I almost died. Well, you know, but in His mercy, He appeared to me, and I had a vision of Him, let's just say His judgment, but also of glory and of heaven. Praise God. And it's really helped me to understand, it's not just facing it, it's forsaking it. And if you've got sin in your life and you haven't forsaken it, then I would submit you need to listen. Because if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord so that we should not be condemned with the world. And the biggest deception in the church today is somehow people accommodate, justify, rationalize, make excuses and blame, and still sin. And I'll tell you one thing God doesn't like, it's sin. He's tolerant about everything and everybody except sin. That sin He has set Himself against. He sent His own Son to die to take upon Him the sin of the world. And when we sin, we crucify Him afresh, as it says in Hebrews 6. Putting Him in open chain. Not to condemn us at all. There's no condemnation to them which walk in Christ Jesus. Amen? But the good news, we must confess and what? Forsake. And that means do whatever it takes. And honestly, as I wrestle with it, the Lord showed me last summer, I'd come to the point, I said, God, you're going to have to deliver me. God, whatever it takes, God, deliver me. Though I die, deliver me. They love not their lives to the death. I'd rather be delivered of sin than live. You know, the Bible says if you love your life, you lose it. But if you hate your life, you will what? You be willing. I want to be free from sin. I want to be pleasing. How many of y'all want to be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord? The Bible says you can ask what you will in 1 John 3, because we keep His commandments to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I realize now that in many ways I was, but in many ways I wasn't. And I'm determined to be pleasing to the Lord. I want His smile in my life. I want to experience His anointing in my life. I want to experience His healing in my life. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and they are healed. Cast out demons and they leave. How many of y'all want that? Speak to something and it occurs. Decree things and it happens. Man, that's where it's at. To be a son of God. To be a daughter of God. To walk in the maturity of Christ. To be grown up. The world's fixing to go through rough times. God's looking for people that are mature. So as a result, look at Hebrews 12:1. This is what happens when you confess it and don't forsake it. Some of y'all have never seen this. It's an interesting Greek word. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," everybody knows this verse, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us." You know what's really interesting? Now, I don't know a lot of Greek, okay? I really don't. But the Greek word here, it's a strange word. It's euperistotos. That's the Greek word. Now, let me tell you what this word means in the Greek. It's really important. It means an encompassing sin which has every advantage of prevailing in your life. Let's say that again. He's talking about a sin, an encompassing sin. It's ironic. He starts out, "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and lay aside the encompassing sin." The sin that compasses you about, which has every advantage of prevailing. Now, I appreciate your testimony, Caitlin. You know, that's good. I've found when you're public about your deal, and you're honest, she comes up here and she's public and says, "December 7th, you're a year sober." Did you know just doing that, you put a lot of grace in your life? Just being honest. It's amazing. Just the Bible says, God resists the proud, but what? I bet, you know, although when you're really free, you don't care who knows. See, some people say, "I could never share my sin." Well, then you ain't free from your sin. Because when you're free, you don't care. Shout it from the housetop. "I was a scum loser. Now I'm a scum saved person going to heaven." Can I amen? I know they're saved because they're not ashamed. Jesus set me free. Amen, brother? In fact, your scum loser thing is your testimony, because there's other scum losers out there need you to get up there and say, "I was where you are. Jesus set me free." And they go, "Whoa, there's hope for me." Amen? Praise God. So what's the secret to fully forsaken? That's the big question. How do I fully forsake sin? Well, I want to share something with you really cool. I just heard this revelation this week on who I consider to be my teaching pastor. His name's Bill Johnson. And I listened to a podcast. God did a remarkable thing with Bill Johnson. Pastors at Bethel Church in California, one of the most powerful churches of healing in the country. And we went to a conference. Amazing, man. This summer, to get some prayer. Walked in, had to pay. It was an humble 1,500 people there. And they assigned your seating. They literally sat you down. Just so happened, I sat directly where I was able to walk up to Bill Johnson. He was one of the main speakers. And get him to pray for me. And get him to lay hands on me. And Sherry and him were praying for me. What a blessing. I have been looking to this fellow through his podcast. He has an anointing and a teaching ability remarkable. And how many of y'all know it's okay to borrow stuff from other preachers if it's from the Bible? I'll be honest with you. He shares some stuff, and I go, "Ooh, that's meat. That preaches." I got all excited. I listened to several. What's that one? Norval? No. You know the one, Bill, I turned on to? The English gentleman? Neville. Yeah. Anyway, there's two or three podcasts I listen to. And I'm really picky. I want somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost, full of revelation, moves in signs and wonders. When he prays, the sick people get healed, and really loves the Word. Amen? And I'll listen to him. Well, let me show you this really cool. Mark 14:27. I want to show you the secret today to be into forsaking sin. First of all, it's to recognize you can't do it. Hello? How many are at the point? Don't mean to pick you out, Caitlin, but was that you that said you hit the ground? And then, how many of y'all realize it's not until you get to the bottom that finally you realize you really give it all to Jesus? Am I right? We try, and somehow we got to get to the point, I give up. In my own strength, it's helpless, it's impossible. Good. Now you're really going to access grace beyond you. Now look at this story. Peter came to that point one day. Mark 14:27. Y'all know the story. Jesus is sitting there talking about how he's going to die. In fact, he says, all of you are going to be offended. He's talking to his apostles. All of you will be offended because of me tonight. He's sitting there, just had the last supper with them, giving them some last minute, and he says, you're all going to be offended. Everybody's going to run away. Because it's written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I mean, these guys are looking, they're going, what? Tonight? We love you. You're the man. We're with you. Thick and thin, buddy. Right? What? In fact, Peter kind of voiced what they were all feeling, but a little bit more. He said in verse 29, although all them should be offended, not me. Is that what it reads? All should be offended, not me. You know what? Suppose you were Thaddeus or Nathaniel or Bartholomew or John or... And Peter says, hey, Jesus, they might be scattered. I'm going to be by your side. How did you think that made them feel? Well, it says, Jesus turned to Peter because he knew how it made him feel. He said, Peter, this day, even tonight, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. You think it got quiet in the room right there? But he spake the more vehemently. Now listen to me. If I should die, I will not deny you. And it said, likewise said they all. The other guy said, yeah, me too. But he said, if I should die, Jesus, I would be willing to die for you. He was passionate. He was on fire. And he was clueless. I want to show you, there are two things he said here, real important. First is, though everybody else forsakes you, I won't. The second is, I'm willing to die for you. You know, Jesus looks into our heart. And he shakes his head sometimes. And he smiles. And he says, you know, I know you love me. I know you have zeal. I know you do anything for me. But you have no connection with who you really are and the sin in your life. And I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. He knows until we deal with the sin, we're not very effectual for him. A lot of it is kind of what's called dead works, religious works. We got to deal with the sin. Can you hear an amen? There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of stuff for Jesus. You lift the hood, dude, they ain't an engine in there. A lot of people doing a lot of things, and you look in their life, there's all kind of stuff in their life that ain't holy. What's funny is you got some people not doing much for Jesus, and they're walking holy, and Jesus is doing stuff through them. You know, it's interesting. We're not called to minister. We're called to be a ministry. There's so many people out wanting to minister and serve the Lord. I would submit after walking with the Lord 38 years now, I can tell you something. Jesus is more interested in Chris being a ministry than doing anything. Because Jesus said, I will be in you a well springing up to everlasting life. And Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That means Jesus says, Chris, shut up, stand still, let me flow through you. Let me be the ministry, not you. The power is manifest in him. We're just earthen vessels. And you got to die for that. You got to face sin. They come to face with your cluelessness. And we're all clueless. Who's not clueless? We're all clueless. Amen? Now what happens? Y'all know what happens. Luke 22. What did he do? We know the story. Just what Jesus said. Verse 61. He had denied the Lord. You know what in front of? Little kids. Little servant girls. I mean, it's not like he denied him before Caesar. You know, but it was just... He had no idea. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed. He was scared. So what happens? Luke 22:61. Right after he denied the Lord... And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now, isn't that weird? I don't know where Jesus was and Peter was, but somehow Jesus, when he heard the cock crow the third time, Jesus turned and found Peter's eyes out there in the crowd. And Peter, remember the word of the Lord, how he'd said before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I would submit, Peter went into the dark night of the soul. Those were the three worst days of his life. He loved the Lord. He was passionate for the Lord. He'd forsaken everything. He was vehement in his zeal. He even put the other guys down. He boasted to the other guys he was going to be the man. He went all of this stuff. And when the rubber hit the road, when the chips, what happened? Utterly failed. And exactly what Jesus said came to pass. And he wept bitterly. Tears of despair and hopelessness. Who knows? Suicide. Judas just finished killing himself. for a betrayal. And I bet Peter was saying, you know, I really wasn't any better than Judas. Tempted to kill himself. You know, over the next few days, it was pretty hard. But what's really interesting is, we're not going to go into it now if you study it. When Jesus rose from the dead, he actually had a special appearance to Peter. Now, I'm not going to show you in the scripture right now, but I've taught on this before. He actually appeared to Peter personally. Anybody know why? Yeah, when you're furthest down, he manifests his love. He really. But I want to show you something interesting. Even though Jesus appeared to Peter personally and appeared to the other disciples and this kind of thing several times, listen, it still wasn't completely worked out of Peter's spirit. It still wasn't resolved. He was still under the tyranny of his past sin. He still at moments realized, man, can I trust my commitment to the Lord? I mean, he would wrestle with, is anything I say valid? I mean, I was so passionate, I was ready to die. And it was a joke. I denied him before little servant girls. And so I'm sure, even though Christ appeared, there was still, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture, it still wasn't completely resolved. There was still the tyranny, and I would submit, how many of us, the past, is still has play in the present. That you're still not really knowing you're forgiven. You really haven't forgiven yourself. Are you still laboring under guilt or shame? Are you not really convinced the Lord really loves you and there's a future? And the demons are able to come in and beguile your mind and deceive you and sell you short and say, well, God, yeah, he's forgiven you all that, but man, you blew it and you were going to be here and you're going to be there. Sorry. And we believe that. We're still under the... I want to submit to you today, Jesus really, genuinely set you free. If you confess and forsake, he will forgive and deliver. And we go, interestingly enough, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. He'll even put you further up the board. I don't understand that. You'll even have a greater reward when you go through it and really repent. But we don't believe that because we're still under the tyranny of guilt and shame. So look what happened. John 21, Jesus knew that, and he knew that Peter needed a little special touch to unwind the damage of the sin. Guys, sin damages us. And sometimes we have to go back and repent. And sometimes repenting is not generic. Lord, I really blew it. Forgive me. He wants us to confess the specifics to him, to be owned, take ownership of stuff. So John 21, this is after Jesus had appeared. Verse 3. Simon Peter said to his friends, I'm going fishing. Now, I remember somewhere where Jesus told him, forsake your nets. Do you remember that? Or in Luke 5, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. What's he doing here? Look, Christ was raised from the dead. He told him to tarry in Jerusalem and wait to be endued with power from on high. He said, but he's going fishing. So he was the leader. They said, okay, we're going to go with you. So they got in a boat and entered in a ship, and all night they didn't catch anything. You know, that's what happens when you just decide you're going to do your thing. Amen? I'm just going to go do this because it's comfortable and familiar, and it ain't with Jesus. So he spent all night, and nothing happened. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. I love that verse. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you found any fish? And they said, no. And he said, well, cast your net on the right side and you'll find. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's the writer here, John, said to Peter, Peter. I mean, hello, they're connecting the dots here. Jesus had done this before. Cast your net. They got all these fish. Suddenly, they weren't really firing on all the little things, neurons, you know. Well, I think it's the Lord. Out all night, throw it full of fish. We've been here before. So John says, Lord, it's the Lord. And it was misty. It was early morning. There was this figure sitting there. John says, Peter, it's the Lord. Now look at what Peter did. Now when Peter heard it was the Lord, he put the fisher's coat on him because he was naked and threw himself in the water. I guess they were far enough out there. He was out there naked. So he just said, he didn't want to wait for the boat to get to land. He put something on him and he jumped in the water to swim to Jesus. I wrote here, he was desperate for Jesus. I believe he was desperate to be restored to Jesus. I think there was still something not at peace with him and Jesus. He couldn't wait for the boat to get to the land. So finally the boat does get there. And when they come to the land, guess what? Jesus had a little fire going, a little campfire, and fish and bread. He was cooking. Verse 9. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw fire and coals and fish laid and bread. And Jesus said, bring of the fish which you've caught. So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. Somebody actually counted them. For all there was so many, it was not the net broken. And Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took bread and gave to them and fish likewise. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, feed my sheep. And in verse 17, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. You know, it's interesting. Jesus knew Peter needed reassurance and deliverance from his sin. Do y'all remember the night that he denied the Lord? He went into the courtyard, I believe the high priest. Do you know it says it was cold and he went and warmed himself up against a fire. Do you remember that? And while he was standing next to a fire, he denied the Lord three times. One place with cursing, bitterness, passion. I know not the man or what you speak of. You know, the Lord knew that Peter needed to react. In other words, go back and bring to light what he did so he could be free. Because it was killing him. It was beating him up. So the Lord hath set up. Now he's sitting by a fire again. And three times in front of the others. Remember what he said in front of the others before? They may forsake you. You know, he did this in front of others. He sinned in front of others. He needed to be forgiven in front of others. So he said, Simon, do you really love me? It's interesting, more than these. I think he was talking to the other guys. And he asked him again and again. And he got grieved because he asked him three times. How many times did he deny the Lord? And finally, Peter says a third time, Lord, you know all things. He finally realized. It's interesting. I was thinking how similar this is to Job in chapter 42. Job, finally at the end of a horrendous testing, said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, and makes the same kind of proclamation. I cannot hide anything from you, Lord. You know all things. See, he was lying to himself, kidding himself, thinking he could con and somehow justify and rationalize and hide. We got to be honest to God. Utterly honest. And sometimes in front of others to break that thing. And it broke in him, and he was grieved. I think he was grieved because he realized, I need to go through this to get free. You know, he was the leader of the band, and Jesus knew he's going to have to get this thing off his back. He was free from guilt. It's interesting, in Acts, when one of his sermons there in the early chapter of Acts, he was actually rebuking the Israelites. He says, for you have denied the Holy One. And then he says, but I know you did it through ignorance. Isn't that interesting? He was now able to boldly proclaim something he'd failed in. Do you know you're free in grace of Jesus Christ, because you can preach against the very thing you failed in because you're forgiven. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? So what happens? Jesus knew that he needed one more thing to heal this tyranny of the past. First thing, he boasted for the other guys, I'd never do it. So he made him bring it out three times in front of the other guys. Oh, yes, you would. But there was another thing Peter said. He said, Lord, I would die for you. I would go to death for you before I betrayed you. And what happened? He didn't die. He ran. He was scared to death. He lied so he wouldn't have to die. Am I right? And that caused some doubt. That caused, oh my God, could I ever be faithful? Could I ever know forgiveness? And let me tell you something Jesus did. For the first time, I understand this verse. I've read this verse for over 35 years. Now I understand it. Read it. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself. You walked where you would. When you shall be old, you will stretch forth your hands, Peter, and another will guard you and carry you where you would rather not go. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he spoke this, he said to him, follow me. Church history tells us, I'm sure you've heard this, that when they finally did drag Peter to be martyred, they were going to crucify him in mockery of his Lord. And Peter literally said, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord. And they crucified him upside down. So Jesus, after Peter had made the grand boast, I'd die for you. And then he came face to face with reality. He utterly failed when the time came. And he had that nagging doubt. Could he ever be zealous again? Could he ever be passionate again? Because last time he was, he blew it. And Jesus wanted to let him know, oh yes. Because Jesus hit the fast forward button. That's what that verse is. He fast forwarded his life. All the way to the end. I said, Peter, let me tell you something. You are going to die for me. You're going to be faithful to death. I'm telling you right now, your repentance is real. Thorough. Deep. And I believe you when you say, I will die for you. See, what this verse 18 really is Jesus is assuring him. I trust you now, Peter. You've repented. Now put it behind you. I know you've already repented. And you notice he says, verse 19, how does it close? Verse 19. What? Follow me. See, here's the message this morning. Freedom from the tyranny of your past sins. Guys, the devil wants to beat you up because you failed. He wants to keep you from ever getting out there and being bold because of guilt and shame. There's two things. You got to, one, know you're forgiven and forgive yourself. And recognize that God's not looking. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, so far he's separated us from our sins. This sin has no power over you under the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. How many of y'all wrestle with the issues of the past? Come on, be honest with me this morning. And sometimes the devil brings it up and beats you down. And there's the temptation to think, I can never come into what my destiny was. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus really wanted Peter to know. Fast forward. You're going to finish this thing out. And from that day, Peter went with an assurance. There is an assurance in Christ. I want to pray for us today. Say this after me. Jesus, I thank you for your blood that forgives me my sin. If there's any area that I've not repented of, taken ownership for, that I'm still blaming or rationalizing, convict me, Jesus. I can bring it all out in the light and be utterly forgiven. I choose this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, to forgive myself for my failings, the areas that I've forsaken the Lord. I choose to release myself from the power of sin in the past because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, just wait on the Lord, I pray right now that you would come and you would assure and bring peace so that we can forget the things that are behind. And press to the mark of the prize of the high calling. I want to break the power of guilt and shame in the past off your life this morning. I want everybody to look at me, because in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power and the authority of your past sins this morning. I break the power and the authority of your past sins. Now renounce it in the name of the Lord. Renounce guilt. Renounce shame. Renounce condemnation. Renounce accusation. I take the power of your past in Jesus' name. Every demon power that beats on your head, that brings back the past, that's a lie. Satan, we take your power. I command you to leave these saints this morning. Take a deep breath. Renounce the devil this morning. Now give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. The Bible says his mercies are new when... Come on, let's receive his mercy. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Receive fresh mercy from the Lord. Fresh mercy from the Lord. Fresh mercy. No past. Nothing from the past. Nothing from the past. Has no power. Has no power. I pick you in Jesus' name. I pick you in Jesus' name. The past has no power. Just give thanks to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll enable us from this point on to go forward. Nothing. For my past is bigger than the blood of Jesus Christ. and you will fulfill every destiny, regardless of how we fail. You came to pick up and to heal and to love the brokenhearted. Jesus. I want to speak a blessing now. I pray your protection. You'll seal this truth in our spirits. We can go forth zealous and bold before the Lord. Everybody said. God bless you. Go in peace in Jesus' name.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.